As we get started, I want to do something. I hadn't quite planned on it, but we're going to get started, and it's going to really help us, I think, get into what I believe the Lord has for us this morning. So first thing I want you to do, and this might be uncomfortable for some of you because you want to know what's coming at you and you don't trust the person next to you, but I want you to close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Okay. Now I want you to just take a moment and envision the Lord sitting on his throne. I realize none of us officially know what he looks like. We read in the scriptures, if anyone looks on God's face, basically we would be dead. But I want you to envision God sitting on his throne. We hear and read about different pictures in Revelation. This amazing, majestic God sitting on his throne. He's up high above everything else. So imagine him sitting on the throne. Now take a moment and just reflect, just think that he's got something that he wants to show you. Maybe something he wants to tell you. He wants to do a work. He wants to show you and tell you what it is. And that's what I'm feeling led this morning, that he's got something that he's wanting to show us. He's wanting to tell us. A life-changing moment for us, maybe. You can open your eyes. But let that thought kind of drive us this morning. So just to catch you up to speed, if you're new with us, you haven't been following us, first time here, second time here, whatever it ends up being, we've been going through our core values. You know, Alliance Church, and these are core values that we didn't just write yesterday. These are core values that have been in place for years. And we're taking some time and we're looking at these because if these core values are something that we really value, if these are something that's like, wow, we're really serious about this, then I think it's only necessary that we take some moment and we look, what does that really look like? What does that really mean? What does it mean to say we value worship? And that's what we started with. A couple weeks ago, we started with worship. We spent 2 weeks on this idea of worship. And worship we talked about wasn't necessarily this idea. We think singing, we think songs, and that really has very little to do with the actual word worship. Remember, we looked up the word worship in the Hebrew, and the word was shakah. And the word shakah basically meant is I'm taking myself and I'm putting myself under the authority. I'm putting myself under something that I recognize as being higher than myself. All right? And that's kind of a big deal. Because oftentimes our culture, we like to kind of put ourselves, you know, all the media, everything kind of, hey, put yourself up. You are good. I'm not saying God thinks you're great, okay? Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But elevate yourself. And shakah is the opposite and says, actually, no, put yourself under. And then the last time we were together, we looked in the book of Daniel. And Daniel was, as we know, he was from Judah. An Israelite from Judah, and they were exiled into Babylon. They were conquered in 605 BC. We had a little bit of a history lesson. It was kind of fun to look at that. But they were exiled. So they took the smartest and the brightest and the best people. Some of us would have been there too. Some of us would not have been there. But they took some of the best and the brightest, and they took them from Judah over into Babylon. And they basically said, here is the deal. You guys are going to work for us now. We're going to teach you our ways. And so they're exiled, and Daniel was one of them, and there were three other guys that were listed. There were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these guys were sharp guys. They're young guys. They were strapping. Remember, we talked about the whole diet thing. They said, we want you to eat this food. It's going to make you big and strong. And they said, no, we want only vegetables because we don't want to eat any meat that's been offered to your idols. And so we see this character in these men who will not slide from side to side. But you have this king of Babylon who, as we said before, you know, is not submitting himself under anything. In fact, he's putting himself above. And it was interesting. He got to this one point where he actually erects this 100-plus-foot statue. It's like 90 cubits. Was it 900 cubits? 900 cubits? 90? That's right. That's right. The ark was like 900 cubits. So anyway, cubit. This is the length of a cubit. So we have this 90 cubits. It's a tall statue, and it's believed that this tall golden statue, which was gold-plated, was of himself. So in other words, Nebuchadnezzar builds this huge statue. Look at me, everyone. And then when you hear this music play, I want you to bow down, basically, and pay me honor, pay me homage, worship me, if you will. And then we ran into this problem, where there's these three guys, we talked about it last time, these three guys wouldn't do it. They said, no, we're not doing that, even if okay, you accuse or throw us into the fire. Even if you kill us, we will never do that. And they say something so profound. They say to Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, just understand this. We believe in a God who is above your big statue. right? We believe in a God who is much higher than you. And he has enough power and enough authority to save us, but even if he doesn't, we will never bow down to you. Even if he doesn't. But it doesn't matter, because we serve a God, he can do it. And then what we find is, sure enough, God does honor him. But now look at this idea. So here you have Nebuchadnezzar, who in a sense, and even Daniel talked about in Daniel chapter 2, talked about in the sense where he is, in a sense, the King of Kings. Not like Jesus was, it's a little bit different, but he was seen as this king of all kings in this country, in this world, in this region. It's like, this is one profound king. He has a lot of authority. He has a lot of power. And in that whole region, that whole area, there would have been no king like Nebuchadnezzar at that time. And Daniel even expresses that to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, there is really no king like you. There's never been a king like you. He kind of lays it out there for Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar kind of gets puffed up with that idea. But then watch this reaction that we have here. This is Daniel chapter 3. So after these three guys thrown in the fire furnace, they do not perish. Nebuchadnezzar sees something happened that was significant. And this is important. Catch this right at the beginning, because this is going to kind of flow into everything that we've already talked about and everything we're going to go with that this morning. And I think this is going to be a short message. We're going to hopefully spend some time really doing something cool at the end. But it says, Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace, and he shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Something happened. So we talked about this idea of worship. And before, it was this idea of worship is when we come to see who God really is, we have no choice but to really worship. To recognize him, I submit myself under. But now we have something different. Now we have this idea of when I start to see what God can do, when I start to see what God is doing and what I see that God has done, then I also have a response, and that response is praise. It's exaltation. And this is what Nebuchadnezzar says. He says, servants of the Most High God, there is someone, wow, that was crazy. I've never seen anything like that come out here. And then we see it a little bit farther. He does some more. And then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve and worship any god except their own. Therefore, I decree that in the people of the nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, this Most High God, be cut into pieces and their houses turned into piles of rubble, and no other God can save in this way. It's a little bit dramatic at the end there. But still, no other God can save in this way. Nebuchadnezzar saw what God did. He had to respond. What did Nebuchadnezzar do? He had to respond, and he praised God. So worship is submitting. Now praise is this new element that we're looking at. And so praise, we're going to talk about two things. Praise and exaltation here this morning. They're very similar. We see them both all the way through the Psalms. If you read the Psalms, you're going to see the words praise. You're going to see the words exaltation all over the place. But what's interesting, like Shaka, and we sometimes attribute it only in certain capacities, this word for exaltation, Nabah, is found elsewhere, used in different circumstances. Look at this. Psalm 32. The word exalt is in here, at least in the Hebrew. And it says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. You know which one it is? Forgiven. The word exalt basically means to lift, okay? To pick up, to lift off. And so what we have here, in a sense, is what God is saying is, blessed is the one whose transgressions have been lifted from him. Doesn't that sound light? Doesn't that sound freeing? Blessed is the one whose sins have been exalted off of him. He no longer carries the burden. There's more evidence. Psalm 32, verse 5. It says, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave. You lifted off the guilt of my sin. That's cool, isn't it? Sometimes we get so bogged down with the guilt of our sin because we know we're depraved people. We get that. We've talked about that over and over again. But yet what you have here is this same word that's used for lifting up is used in this capacity. Your sins, your guilt of your sins has been lifted off of you. It's wonderful. It's used here again. This is a little bit more obvious. It says, I lift up my eyes. I exalt my eyes. And where am I looking? I'm looking at the highest mountains. Where does my help come from? That's where it comes from. I'm going to look at the highest place. Where can I find my help? That's the best place to find it, from that Most High God. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Magnificent passage. Because sometimes we need help, don't we? I like this one. We're going to look at verse 9, and then we're going to go back and look at verse 8, and then come back to it. Look at this. It says, for you, Lord, are the Most High. Okay? Nebuchadnezzar even said the same thing, and he was King of Kings. Most High over all the earth. You are exalted. There it is translated as exalted. You are exalted. You are far above all gods, okay? There is no one higher. We can't exalt God any higher than he already is, just to be clear, all right? So if we're going to be talking about exalting, we're going to be talking about praise, but we're doing something, but we can't literally lift him up any higher than he already is, so something else has to be lifted, and that's what we're going to find is it's going to be something going on in here. And I hope that the Lord begins to do that work in preparing us for something that's going on in here. But look at what verse 8, this is what led to what we just read there. Zion hears and rejoices, and the villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. Okay, in other words, Zion, this mountain of God in a sense, okay, he rejoices, and the villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. In other words, we've seen the things that God has done, and when we've seen the things that God has done, what choice do I have? But to exalt that Most High God. When we see God for who he truly is, we will fall down. We must respond. We will worship him. When we start to see God for the things that he is doing and the things that he has done, then we have no choice but to begin to exalt and to praise his name. And that's what I wanted to focus on this morning. So as we look at this, so that's that idea of exalt. It's nabah, but there's also a word for praise. It's called yada. Very similar words. They both mean the same context with this idea of lifting up. The one difference with yada is it's not only this lifting up, it's actually this lifting up and casting out onto. Okay, so it's like taking this and like throwing it almost. Like casting your nets would have been a similar word for it, where I'm taking what I have and I'm throwing it out. I'm getting it up and over. Like if you ever throw a shot put, height is a big thing. Okay, you got to get it at the right angle, but you not only have to throw it, you have to throw it high in order to let that thing have a chance to carry and fly. So you want to, it's this idea of lifting and casting at the same time. And here's where we see it. Look at this. You know, Lane read for us Psalm 149. The end of the Psalms are amazing with this idea of praise. You see this word praise, praise, praise over and over again. Yada, yada, yada. Take it and cast it out. Praise the Lord. Cast this praise to him. Okay, you throw it out to him. Praise God in his sanctuary. Where are we going to praise him? We're going to praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the timbrel. That's like a tambourine. Do you like tambourines? Not a fan. Even so, we'll still praise him with the tambourines. If someone's playing the tambourine, we'll praise God by golly. Okay, praise him with the timbrel and the dancing. Uh-oh, some people don't like dancing, but it did say dancing, just to be clear. Okay, praise him with the strings and the pipe. Praise him with the loud clash of the cymbals. You like drums? Some of you don't. That's okay. We're going to praise him anyway, right? All right, praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath, everything that has breath, everything is going to cry out to him. Praise the Lord. This is profound. It's always as yada, cast it out, cast it out, cast it out. Everything you have, cast it out. It's an interesting, we look at Luke 19. And I talked about this. If you read the email, if you do not get my emails that I send out weekly and you would like to, there's a spot in your worship folders down in the bottom right area. You can fill that out and you can request. Basically, we would add you to the email list. We don't send out a whole bunch of junk mail and things like that. Only, you know, if I need help fixing my car or something, I might request. But either way, you can write that on. You can get those emails, or you can go to our website. It's posted there as well. But anyway, I talked about this briefly in the email, but it says, look at this. Okay, so this is when Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, right? He's entering. This is the triumphal entry. And look at the language that's used here. It says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd. So here they are. Remember, they're throwing the coats down. They're throwing palm branches down. Everyone's crying out, Hosanna. Everyone's saying, praise be the name of the Lord. And look what the Pharisees do. They're the ones that they didn't really care for Jesus. And they said, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And in other words, tell them to button it. Okay? What they're doing is not okay. Put a lid on it. And Jesus' response is, says, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. In other words, it's like this building up inside. It's just like you can't help when you start to see the things that God's doing. You can't help but let it come out. And the more we start to see what it is that God's doing, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others, the more and more I start to say, wow, God is really doing crazy things. God's doing this. God's doing this. The more I feel like I have to tell it. It's like this. I know it's kind of a little bit gruesome. Okay, you get that big old pimple on your forehead. Okay? Eventually, it's got to go, right? And eventually it finally does, and it's just like, oh, this tension builds, and there it goes, you know? It's like a balloon, you know? Some pressure builds. God's doing more things. Boy, I should just keep it quiet, though. You know, God's really doing some cool things in my life. But, you know, it's just for me. I'll just keep it. It gets bigger. It's like, oh, this tension's built. Well, if I keep it just in, if I just keep it in, I'll be okay, right? You know, it's all God's doing some really cool things in me. I'm just going to go about my day and not let anyone really know. But yet, I'm a little afraid. Last time we had the chalkboard up here, I had a big balloon like this too. Remember that, Aiden? That's right. Slingshot, point at your head. But do you see, God is doing so much. But sometimes we either want to conceal it or we diminish it. But here's the reality. Whether you like it or not, God's at work and he's doing some crazy things. I'm going to look at it real briefly here in Habakkuk. You ever read Habakkuk? Not if I can help it. Some people are cringing. You're not the one blowing up the balloon. Imagine how I feel, right? But it's just, it's so tense. You can't help. It's like, he's doing so much. There's got to come a day. What's going to happen here to you, Kim, if this goes? But do you see what I'm saying? God is at work, and he's doing some crazy things. Look at this. I'm just going to let it go like this for a little bit, build up my courage. Habakkuk. So here's the story with Habakkuk. This may just eventually go. One time I was walking through Walmart, and I'm going to say this, and I don't mean it to be, not sure how to say it without it being like, wow, that's really downplaying it. It was right after one of those U.S. tragedies of some shootings, and we've had those again, you know, the last couple of weeks, and it's just, man, Isaac was walking around with a balloon like this in Walmart. That's not good timing. Okay, it popped and it was just like, what in the world? You knucklehead. Anyway, Habakkuk 1. So here's the story with Habakkuk. Okay, Habakkuk was also a prophet during this time of exile. All right, we talked about Ezekiel. He would have written this roughly about 605, roughly that same time that Babylon took over Judah. So right around that same time. So now here's the deal. So you have Nebuchadnezzar, and he's like, he's just king of kings, and he's got this. You saw how he ended that last portion. Anyone who doesn't believe in this most high God now will cut off his toenails, okay? We'll basically feed him to the alligators. I mean, just ruthless punishment. We'll have him chopped into pieces, it says. You know, he's not exactly a kind king, right? And so these Israelites who are living in exile, looking at Babylon, saying, God, what in the world are you doing? Why are you letting this nation of Babylon succeed? Why are you blessing them? Look at them. They are depraved. So that's in a sense what Habakkuk is actually expressing. He says, how long must I call for help? But you will not listen. Here we are in exile. Habakkuk is complaining. He's saying, or how long do I cry out to you? Violence, but you do not save. And he says, verse 3, why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you make me even watch the blessings that these Babylonians are having? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Do you ever look around in our culture and wonder, man, I feel like I'm doing the best that I can. I feel like I'm really trying to do right. And you watch everyone else is like, wow, they just got a new boat. Why don't I get a new boat? You know, it's just like God's blessing all of these people. It's like, what are they doing? And here you are just complaining. Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Why do you bless these people that are idolaters? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and there's conflict and it abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that the justice is perverted. And God responds to Habakkuk's complaint. Oh, if you have socks on, hold one tight because they're just going to blow off right now. Okay, look at this. Look at the nations. This is God's response. Look at the nations. Open your eyes. Look at the nations. And watch and be utterly amazed at what I'm about to do. For I am doing something in your days that you would not believe, even if I were to tell you. That's God's response. Here's Habakkuk complaining. He says, you just keep your eyes open, buddy, and you watch what I'm doing, and you'll be utterly amazed. He says, I'm rising up the Babylonians, that ruthless people, the impetuous people, who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves, and they promote their own honor. That sounds exactly like what we talked about with Nebuchadnezzar. Yep. God says, you watch what I'm doing. I'm doing exactly what you said. Habakkuk doesn't like that. Habakkuk's got some more complaints. Lord, are you not the one from everlasting? May God, my Holy One, will you never die? You will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. These nasty people, you've given them authority to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. What in the world are you thinking? Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up the more righteous than themselves? God, come on. We are your people, and yet you do nothing. God replies again, write this down, Habakkuk. You're not going to want to miss this. And make it plain on tablets so that my prophecy will be made known, so that the herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come, and it will not delay. In other words, be aware. Pay attention. This nation, and then he prophesies, this nation, this Babylonian nation will fall. I will see to it. And let then my words that I have promised you be made known, and then you will praise me. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. And then he concludes, this is still God's statement, he says, you will be filled with shame instead of glory. He's talking to Babylon. So yes, I built you up and I'm going to crush you down. Now it is your turn. Drink and let your nakedness be exposed. The cup from the Lord's right hand is coming around you and disgrace will cover your glory. Habakkuk concludes it with this, his final prayer. And Habakkuk says this, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. I've heard of those things that you have done. You know what he says then? Do it again. Show me again. Do it again. Do that which only you can do. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do that again. So that I can't help but praise. Build me up with so much more. Build me up with so much more that I just can't contain it anymore. Where I have no choice, but at that point, I just have to praise him. Do you see that? I mean, Habakkuk is basically dealing with a time of complaint. And what's God doing? He's saying, wait for it. Look at what I'm doing. Pay attention to what I'm doing. And as you watch what I'm doing, you can't help but praise me. I know. Is everyone as tense as I am? A couple other verses as we kind of wrap up. And then what we're going to do, we're going to do something kind of neat. I think it's kind of cool. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you're going to memorize verses, remember I do this a few times? These are good ones to memorize because they're really short. Rejoice always. That's verse 16. I know. It's really good. That's good. I remember, did I tell you this story in VBS one time? There was a competition. This was when I was a kid. There was a competition to whoever could memorize the most verses. I'd go in and I'd look for verses like this. Okay, I memorized a whole bunch of them, and someone ratted me out and told, and I lost anyway. It doesn't matter. Anyway, it says, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Habakkuk, I know you're miserable. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I love this one. Look at this. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly, I love this. Okay, so outwardly, let's be real here. Anyone getting older? Are you in better shape now than you were, say, a year ago? High school students, teenagers, you don't count, okay? Because I was there one time, and yes, all right? So you just right now, not that you don't count in the long term, but right now, this doesn't affect you. This affects those who are basically 30 years older, married, all that stuff, okay? Are you in better shape today than you were a year ago? Nope. I'd like to think I was, but I'm not, okay? I noticed that as I pedal my bike, it's like, wow, this never used to be so hard, okay? So here's this reality. Though outwardly we're wasting away, let's be honest, let's just call a spade a spade. We are wasting away. We're turning into, you know, basically a pile of ash and dust and such. But inwardly, we are being renewed. So maybe outwardly, let's be real, maybe outwardly you're struggling. You have some big time issues. It's like, I am so sick of the pain. Lord, I just want you to heal me. I want this. Why won't you do it? Well, here's the thing. I don't know that answer, but I will say this. That doesn't diminish the fact that God is actively moving and he's blowing into that balloon. Part of me hopes that I just accidentally go. At some point, everything that God is doing will fill us to this point where we can't help but praise him, to lift up his name and exalt him. Is that not incredible? Was anyone sleeping? I should do that every week, right? But look at what's going on. It's just like, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So I don't care if God's not doing anything to your physical body. Okay, I do care, but not quite that way. The reality of it is he's doing a work on the inside. He's not done with doing that work on the inside. And I thank him for that fact that you are doing that renewing work on the inside. Because that, honestly, is what needs more work here than it does out here. And this needs a lot of work. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I realize that, you know, it's already 10:30. That's okay. We're going to do this anyway. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. Did I take your music? Okay, good. And as Pam's going to start playing for us, and let's look at this. You know, maybe if you feel led, you want to read it with me, that's fine. I'm going to read it. You're welcome to join me. I don't care. We're not going to. But we're going to read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. And at the conclusion of that, I'm going to invite anyone who has something. It's like God is doing something in me. I've watched him do it. I've seen him do it. I'm going to invite you to come up and grab a piece of chalk and write on the board. We did this one other time. Remember that? So right now, here's what it is. It says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. It says, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the suffering of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that you have now been told by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to see these things. And we have seen the evidence. So when you can realize at any time when Lane is leading in worship, I invite you to come and take a piece of chalk. And then you can come to the board and you can decide where you want to go on the board. And then you can write, that balloon is so full, I can't help but praise him. And so what will I praise him? I'm going to praise him for heart change. And you can write it on the board. And then I look at it and say, well, man, I praise him that I have been redeemed. You can write it on the board. But I think that balloon is full. and is ready for us to cry out praises and exaltation to God. So as Lane is leading us, sing as you feel led, come and write those praises that are ready to come out.